Hello, everyone out there. This is Trevor with Tea Time Reports. Thank you so much for tuning back in to another episode of the podcast, especially of our UFL coverage. We have, I believe, 26 days until kickoff of the 2025 UFL season, so we have a lot to be excited for. Highly anticipated season. We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, we're getting some of the, I guess, preliminary reports and some of the stuff coming out of obviously the first day of training camp. First day of reporting for training camp was on the, I think, the 28th of February, so a couple days ago now. But just some quick stats and facts. And before we get into all that, make sure you guys are checking us out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at Tea Time Reports. Like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube channel as well at Tea Time Reports. All support is greatly appreciated. We're also on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. But diving into this episode, we have a lot to discuss, a lot of key additions, transactions, some retirements as well, overall league news as well to put the cherry on top. But to kick it off on a positive note, from the UFL to the NFL, which, you know, includes obviously USFL and XFL transactions to the NFL, 83 players signed to NFL contracts, 300 plus NFL workouts, 75% of UFL players received a NFL workout, 18 former UFL players made NFL active rosters, 38 former legacy XFL slash USFL players on active NFL rosters as well. So just good to see that spring football clearly works. Look at the numbers. That's the proof in the pudding there for you non-spring football believers out there. Getting into some big transactions here, one of the biggest ones of the past couple weeks here. The Arlington Renegades are signing defensive end Chris Odom. The former USFL Defensive Player of the Year spent the 2024 UFL season with the Houston Roughnecks, but mutually parted ways last month. The Houston Roughnecks pick up a veteran edge rusher who instantly makes the D-line stronger. Chris Odom on the Renegades. With Donald Payne, that's a deadly defense in its entirety. The DC Defenders are signing former Cowboys cornerback Kelvin Joseph. Joseph was a second-round draft pick in 2021 selected by the Cowboys out of Kentucky. Joseph also played at LSU and spent time with the Dolphins, Seahawks, Chiefs, Colts, and Seahawks in the NFL. We do have an unfortunate retirement as well. Running back Devin Darrington is retiring from football. He spent the last two seasons in spring football with the Arlington Renegades and the Orlando Guardians, totaling 368 rushing yards, four touchdowns across that span. Arlington now has three running backs rostered going into training camp. So we're going to get into the rule changes and stuff at the tail end. We're going to get through the transactions first. Current Birmingham Stallions wide receivers coach Mike Jones has been a part of six spring football championship teams. A winner everywhere he's coached, Jones is a three-time World Bowl champion, two-time USFL champion, and a UFL champion in 2024. That is awesome just to have a guy like that on your coaching staff with that resume. The Arlington Renegades have re-signed tight end Sal Canella and defensive back Ajean Harris. Both were key pieces to the squad this past UFL season. Canella led all tight ends with 497 yards and six touchdowns this past year. Harris earned all UFL honors and now returns to the Arlington Renegades secondary. Sal Canella had a really, he's one of the most consistent tight ends in spring football history, especially his days back on the New Orleans Breakers with Kyle Sloter. Getting into some more action here. But getting back to that Kelvin Joseph signing for the DC Defenders, very excited to see what a new look secondary is going to be kind of fielded and appearing in this new season, because they do have Michael Ojemuda, Kelvin Joseph, Taylor Hawkins, Keandre Thomas, plus they do have DeAndre Baker, Monte Nicholson return, those two guys return. So they have a very, very, strong, defensive backfield, in my personal opinion. They're going to have some good playmakers there. The Memphis Showboats are signing wide receiver Isaiah Henney. Henney, the former All-USFL standout with the Pittsburgh Maulers, spent this past year with the Houston Roughnecks. A very versatile add for the Memphis Showboats. guy that can be used on special teams and especially slot receiver. Anything is possible. I love Isaiah Henny. This is a guy that in 2022 on the Pittsburgh Maulers had one of his teeth knocked out on a massive play, and he got back right in the game. Just that kind of guy. Really, really appreciate his class and his determination to play the game. The Memphis Showboats have also signed wide receiver Eli Stove. Stove was a part of the New Orleans Breakers, serving as one of the top return specialists during the 2023 season. A very underrated add from the Memphis Showboats. They're acquiring that slot position and at least providing competition in camp to see who's going to be able to emerge. Very, very good receivers that they brought in towards the tail end of the offseason heading into a training camp. It appears that Memphis Showboats defensive tackle Dylan Famatu is retiring from football. Dylan has spent the last two seasons with the Memphis Showboats, posting 21 tackles, so shout out to him. Matt Corral was also spotted throwing at the combine, which was really cool to see. Definitely just a guy that just wants to continue to get better at his craft. Former Stallions quarterback Jalen Morton projects to be the starter for the Southwest Kansas of the AF1 Football League. He is a quote, "He is a fantastic football player," said head coach Gary Thomas. Morton beat out fellow ex-Stallions quarterback Montel Cozart for the job. So that's definitely cool to see those guys continuing to play. Jontre Kirkland also had some really cool day one energy with his social media account when he was reporting to Arlington. I thought that was pretty cool. Notes from Battlehawks head coach Anthony Becht's presser. The emphasis on keeping the system the same, streamlining what they've had in the past 2 years in going into their new system under Phil McGugin. All quarterbacks heading into training camp as 1A will be an equal battle to see who comes out on top. Going to be the toughest camp yet when it comes to making cuts. Players who they let go could easily be starters on other UFL teams. Overall, Coach Becht is very confident in what they have, calling this the best roster yet that the Battlehawks have had. It's hard for me to really believe in him. I don't know. He's really not sold me that he can lead a team and win a championship or even a playoff game. So, you know, I got to see it to believe it with Anthony Becht. I think he's a guy that likes to talk a lot and likes to distract the media from, you know, maybe his shortcomings as a coach. And I think he's just more of a loudmouth than a manager of the game, you know. Granted, St. Louis has been competitive the past 2 years, but that's because they have phenomenal players and they had A.J. McCarron. So you take that with a grain of salt, if you will, but I don't know. I got to see this team take a step forward. And when I truly believe they have the capability and talent to take that step, I just think losing A.J. McCarron is going to be a massive issue going into the season. I mean, they're going to have to revamp this offense, the pass game. I mean, there's going to be struggles and growing pains with their quarterbacks, so we'll see how that goes. Unfortunately, we have a legend of the spring football time retiring. Quarterback J.M.R. Smith is retiring. Head coach Skip Holtz said a quarterback would be retiring and hadn't reported to camp yesterday, and that was J.M.R. Smith. That leaves the Stallions with two quarterbacks going into the training camp. J.M.R. Smith is a three-time champion with the Birmingham Stallions, most notably leading them in 2022, finishes his springtime career with 1,733 passing yards and 11 touchdowns. A legend finally hangs it up. But after three rings, man, you can't forget that. And I saw this tweet by Southern Charm Sports on Twitter. Quote, "Dad, how good were the original Stallions? Pretty damn good. Enjoy retirement, Six. Giddy up forever." J.M.R. Smith, Scooby Wright, Bo Scarborough, Hayes at number three. Dude, man, that 2022 team was something special. It really was. And then you got Alex Magoo in 2023. Man, the Stallions. Just success. That's why they have my attention. They mean victory. That's what the Stallions brand means. And that's what all their players fought for all this time. And J.M.R. Smith retiring with three rings. Got a three-peat before Mahomes and Brady. So shout out to him. former All-USFL defensive tackle Toby Johnson is taking and is making an attempt at a comeback to the UFL after suffering a season-ending knee injury last season with the Houston Roughnecks. Johnson played with the New York Guardians in 2020 and the New Jersey Generals in 2022 and 2023, where he was a two-time All-USFL selection. Johnson is also the all-time spring football leader in tackles among defensive tackles. He was released by Houston in the offseason and is looking to make a comeback in the UFL this season. The Michigan Panthers have released former USFL number one overall draft pick offensive tackle Jarrett Horst and all-UFL defensive tackle Daniel Wise. Horst and Wise played their first two seasons of spring football in 2024, with Wise earning all-UFL honors. Definitely interesting to see them leave there. I did not expect that. Those are really good players for Michigan. So St. Louis also lost defensive tackle Isaiah Coe and Kobe Smith. Isaiah Coe was due to retirement, I believe. And Kobe Smith did retire. And then Smith played the last two seasons with the Battlehawks and Brahmas, where he recorded 13 tackles. And rookie defensive tackle Isaiah Coe was also waived with injury. So he was released due to injury, which that actually fucking sucks. Like, you're not even in camp yet. The past couple of days, UFL players have been conducting physicals and conditioning tests. Players had the opportunity to officially meet the coaching staff in person as they get the ball rolling for the start of training camp. So that's all, you know, obviously happening now. I saw some preliminary and kind of early on power rankings for some of the teams and just overall the UFL. At number one, this is according to PF Newsroom, the Birmingham Stallions at number one, the Brahmas at two, the Panthers at three, the Battlehawks at four, the Defenders at five, the Showboats at six, the Renegades at seven, and the Roughnecks at eight. I actually think that that's fairly decently well done. Me personally, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, and we're going to do a preseason UFL episode as well to cover our preseason power rankings. But for me right now, it's going to be the Stallions, then the Panthers, then the Brahmas. And then I think I would have the Renegades at four, and then the Battlehawks at five. And then I would have the Showboats at six, the Defenders at seven, and the Roughnecks at eight. The reason why I have the Showboats high like that is because I think they've made a complete turnaround in terms of roster, coaching staff, and management. And then the DC Defenders, I dropped them because I don't think they provide adequate enough competition for their quarterback, Jordan Te'amu. And then obviously the Brahmas not scoring a point in the championship game. I think that that warrants them to drop immediately going into the season, and the Panthers being able to score and actually produce a game in the USFL Conference Championship playoff game against the Stallions, that proves to me that they're better than the Brahmas. They were able to score against the Stallions. So I just thought that those were interesting little notes to add in there. But going into the UFL rule changes, the UFL announced its rule changes for the 2025 season, making changes in three key areas: kickoffs, coaches challenges, and the onside kick. The new kickoff formation, I'll read all these rules out. Word for word, the UFL's kickoff rules this season will be based on a combination of the kickoff used by the XFL Legacy during its 2023 season and the NFL Dynamic kickoff used by the NFL during the 2024 season. These changes include: kickoffs will now start at the 30-yard line after being at the 20-yard line last season. The 10 remaining players on the kickoff team will line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. All kicking team players were at the 20-yard line, including the kicker, last season. The receiving team's setup zone will stretch from its 35-yard line to the 30-yard line and must have at least 9 players in that zone. Last season, the receiving team had to have a minimum of 8 players, but no more than 9 players in their setup zone, which was the kicking team's 30 to 40-yard lines, a 10-yard zone, in parentheses. The landing zone will be from the receiving team's 20-yard line to the goal line. The ball must reach the landing zone or it will be spotted at the 40-yard line. There will be 2 touchback spots, the 35-yard line for balls kicked into the end zone and 20-yard line for the balls that hit the landing zone and enter the end zone. All touchbacks were placed at the 25-yard line last season as well. The head coach's challenge. The head coach's challenge will be expanded in 2025. This extension will feature: each head coach will earn a second challenge if the first challenge is successful. The head coach can challenge any officiating decision as long as the team has a timeout remaining. Onside kicks. The league will be The league has eliminated this option. The kickoff team will be able to retain possession of the ball with a fourth down and 12-yard scrimmage play from its own 28-yard line, which is what the USFL did. Noteworthy rules returning. The following noteworthy rules will be retained this season. Teams will have three scrimmage play options, run or pass, to elect to go for 1, 2, or 3 points after a touchdown. The 2-yard line for 1 point, 5-yard line for 2 points, 10-yard line for 3 points. Overtime will consist of alternating attempts to score from the opponent's 5-yard line with no kicks allowed. It will remain a best of three format until a winner has been determined. A double forward pass on one play from behind the line of scrimmage is legal. In these situations, the ball cannot cross the line of scrimmage at any prior time to the second forward pass being thrown. So if you are a big person on trying to getting to at least know the rules and, you know, knowing all of this going into the season, definitely keep all of that in mind. Here's there was an exclusive copy of a letter that was sent to the UFL quarterbacks, well, sent from the UFL quarterbacks to the executives last Saturday on February 22nd. Players are still reporting to training camp today and this weekend as originally planned, but all quarterbacks on every single team, every single quarterback signed a letter demanding more pay, demanding that the executives and just overall the league take a look at pay and formatting salaries, because it was pathetic, apparently, the offer that the quarterbacks were receiving. The UFL has announced a partnership with Salesforce. Quote, this effort will include a special focus during the upcoming renewal season on addressing the specific needs of fans by offering them a more customized game experience. So that's pretty cool. I don't know, you know, exactly what all it's going to bring. I mean, it's going to bring money, obviously, but, you know, I don't know what tactically or production-wise that'll bring. We talked about all of that. So it looks like the transaction list, like everyone that wasn't officially signed or even was officially signed was listed as signed. So we're getting confirmed rosters. And it looks like it was, there was four pages. Let me actually go and just double check that I'm not tripping. Let me go to the UFL communication page, or UFL Center, actually. Shout out to those guys. That's okay. So I'm not sure why the UFL personnel list had the entire team of San Antonio and Birmingham and Michigan on it. Maybe it was to confirm certain guys that didn't like officially re-sign yet, but I'll read through the names. I have no problem doing that. Free agent signings, they're deemed under that. Birmingham brings back, confirmed, A.J. Thomas, safety. Alex Akingabulu, tackle. Alex Magoo, quarterback. Amari Rodgers. Armani Taylor Priolu. Austin Watkins Jr. Barry Wesley. Bradley Anai. C.J. Marable. Cade Johnson. Carlos Davis. Chappelle Russell. Christian DeLauro. Colby Wadman, Cole Schneider, DJ Coleman, Daniel Isom, Davion Davis, Demetrius Taylor, Deion Kane, Deontay Brown, Elijah Sullivan, Harrison Mevis, Ilm Manning, Jace Sternberger, Jalen Camp, Joseph Nagata, Joshua Pryor, Juju Hughes, Keaton Sutherland, Kenny Robinson Jr., Keava Tizino, Kyle Phillips, LaMichael Petway, Lachavius Simmons, Larry Roundtree III, Madre Harper, legend, Marcus Ball, legend, Mario Goodrich, Marlon Williams, legend, Marvin Wilson, Matt Farinuk, Majai Sanders, Neville Clark, legend, Rashad Wildgoose, Ricky Person Jr., Ryan Langan, Shaheem Carter, Stephen Gilmore, Trey Norwood, Tyron Johnson, and Willie Yarberry are all under recent transactions for the Birmingham Stallions. And then going into the Michigan Panthers, recent free agent signings, or just assurance confirmations is, I guess, Adonis Alexander, BT Potter, Brian Dooley, Chim Okafor, Cole Cabral, Cole Hikatini, Corion Ballard, DJ Miller Jr., Danny Etling, Devin Ross, Donovan Mutton, Frank Ginda, Garrett Marino, Gavin Holmes, Thurman Green, Gunnar Oaks, J.D. Duplain, J.D. Sheridan, Jake Burton, Jalen Widmeyer, James Walker, Javon White, Jalen Moore, John Hightower, Jordan Orber, Kai Nakua, Kedrick Whitehead Jr., Keith Russell, Kenny H. Lovely, Kenny Willekes, Keontae Shad, Keontae Harden, Levi Bell, Levante Taylor, Legend, Malik Turner, Marcus Sims, Matthew Colburn II, Nate McCrary, Noah Dawkins, Noah Johnson, Raylan Goforth, Ron Stone Jr., Rondell Carter, Ryan Nelson, Samson Nakua, COC Mariner, Simon Larea, TJ Carter, Toa Tua, Walter Palmore, Xavier Malone. And then for San Antonio, it was Aaron Montreal, Alex Filstrom, Bo Pete Keys, Bryson Mays, Brian Moan, Kavion Patton, Chris Steele, Christian Young, Chuck Filaga, Corey Mayfield Jr., Dalton Godfrey, Darius Phillips, Derek Langford, Donald DeLahey, Garrett Nelson, Greedy Williams, Greg Island, Greg Ward, Henry Black, Ikenna E., Jacob Harris, Jacob Sykes, Jalen Harris, Jarrett Garantano, Joshua Corbin, John Lovett, John Morgan III, Jontre Kirkland, Jordan Mosley, Jordan Williams, Justin Schaefer, Justin Smith, Juwan Green, Kalen Barnes, Kellen Mond, Kevin Hogan, Kobe Jones, LaDamian Webb, and Lonnie Phelps. All are on the San Antonio's recent transaction list, so that's definitely something to keep your eyes out for. And it really just kind of goes into, we're going to get finalized rosters, we're going to get more of that, more cuts, more retirements in the next week or so. That final week leading up to the season is going to be that final cut week, if you will, and we'll see what the teams truly look like in that preseason episode that we cover pretty exclusively like we did last year. We've covered every single spring football season all the way back to 2022 USFL, so we know the game, we know the players. We're going to be doing exclusive betting content. We're going to be doing tons of different clips and coverage on the UFL's 2025 season. Make sure you guys are along for the ride out there. Greatly appreciated if you're a new or returning listener. Thank you so much for all the support. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, give us a little rating and a little thumbs up. It's greatly appreciated, especially if you're a UFL fan. And if you are a football fan in general, you know, I've said this every episode, but show up this year. Turn on the game, give a little retweet, give a little hashtag about the UFL. This league needs the fans to show up this year. And if you don't, and the league fails and you're upset about it in a year or so, I mean, people like me have been sitting here screaming, come on, give spring football a chance, give it a nod, give it some kind of consideration. But you know, let's see that next step get taken as well this year. But again, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Tee Time Reports. This is Trevor with Tee Time. Thank you again so much for tuning into our UFL coverage episodes. Stay safe, stay awake, and let's go UFL 2025, baby.